Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In our gospel text for today, we are being encouraged by the Holy Ghost to be and remain faithful members of the little flock of God living in the midst of this world. Let's look and see what our text has to say to us. First of all, we begin in verse 33. Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. That is, Simeon, an aged man, we learned this from the passage just previous, Simeon, an aged man, who the Bible describes as just and devout. That is, he was a believer in the Word of God and was justified by his faith in the Word of God. Right? So he was a believer in the Word, and because he had living faith, he lived his life in a devout manner. So he had faith in the Word, and he lived according to it. And it says further of Simeon that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That means he was among those Israelites waiting for God to fulfill his promises by sending the Christ into the world. And it further says of Simeon that the Holy Ghost was upon him. People ask, how can we be filled with the Holy Ghost? And there's one simple answer. Hear God's word, because it is through the word of God that the Holy Ghost comes to us, fills us, strengthens us. It is not through our own machinations. It is not through our own efforts. But by faith in the Word of God, the Holy Ghost comes to us and gifts us and empowers us. So, it says all of these things about Simeon. Just, devout, waiting for the Messiah. The Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, it says one further thing. Something that you and I don't experience the way he experienced it. And that was, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So the Spirit had created in Simeon's mind and heart the assurance that the Messiah would come before he died and that he would see it. All right? And so that's Simeon. All right? He was a member of God's little flock. Living in the midst of people who were not, he was one of the faithful, as were the shepherds, as were Zacharias and Elizabeth, all right? As were Mary and Joseph. So here, Simeon is one of the faithful flock, and he came in, verse 27 says, he came in by the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. You know, so Simeon, who went to the temple a lot, the Spirit of God that dwelt in him led him to go there precisely when Mary and Joseph had brought Jesus to the temple in order to present him to the Lord in accordance with the Torah. So in walks Simeon. And when he sees Jesus, now remember this, Jesus did not have a golden halo around his head. Jesus was not laying in his mother's arms like this, all right? Or like this, or however the pictures picture it. He looked like every other baby being brought into the temple, all right? And let's remember, this was a society where many children were considered a blessing from the Lord. You know, we live in a society where having lots of children is considered a curse. But in that society, having lots of children was a blessing. So there were children all over the place. All right? Children all over the place. And Jesus was one of those children. But because Simeon was filled with God's Word, and because he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and because he had this particular promise from God that he would see the Messiah before he died, the Spirit of God brought him to the place where he would see Jesus, and the Spirit opened his eyes so that when he looked in the face of Jesus, he saw God incarnate. And he took the child in his arms and he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. We know that as the Nunc Dimittis, which we say in the post-communion service. What is he saying? Number one, I can die in peace now because your word has been fulfilled. And I am at peace with you. So if I were to lay down today and die, I would do so in peace, knowing that I will be coming home to you. All right? So the first thing he says is, I can die in peace. And then he says, because my eyes have seen thy salvation. Now, when the world looks at the church, it sees a kind of a club. All right? When the world thinks about church, what is church to the world? It's like a club. It's like Garden Club or any other club, you know, that people join and are members and pay dues, right? It's kind of like a religious club to the world. All right? They don't see the church as the holy virgin bride of God in Christ. They don't see that. They don't see the church as the kingdom of God and grace upon this earth. They don't see that. They just look at the faces around and they say, oh, another club, right? And then when they hear the Bible read and preached, they say, oh, somebody's reading an old-fashioned book and everybody's listening to it, and it may be kind of interesting or not, depending upon the person's attention span. And in today's world, people have the attention span of goldfish. So, you know, the average person who comes to church, anything longer than maybe five words, and they're gone. Right? And so, in the modern world, they hear the Word of God being preached by an ordinary person, listened to by ordinary people, and they're like, eh. And they dismiss it. And then they see Holy Communion. And all they can see is a little disc of bread and a little sip of wine. That's all they can perceive. And baptism, just pouring a little bit of ritualistic water on somebody's head. It's all they can see. because they have the eyes of flesh and they are not enlightened by the Holy Ghost through the Word of God. But Simeon was enlightened by the Word of God, and he uttered this wonderful prayer of praise about Christ. Christ is, to behold Jesus is to behold God's salvation. It is prepared before the face of all people. That is, it has been manifested for everyone to see, both in the life of Jesus and in the preaching of the church. Jesus is manifested for all to see. He is a light for the Gentiles and glory for the children of Israel. Now, when Mary and Joseph heard these words about their little baby Jesus, they marveled. Doesn't that sound kind of funny, though? I mean, after all, didn't Mary receive a vision from the angel Gabriel telling her exactly what she was going to conceive in her womb? Yes, Mary knew exactly who Jesus was. And didn't Joseph, when he had heard that Mary was pregnant without his assistance, wasn't he like troubled about this? And he was thinking, what am I going to do? How am I going to resolve this situation? And didn't an angel come to him and tell him exactly who Jesus was and what he was going to come to do? Yes, of course. And when the shepherds came and they told everybody what they had seen of the angel of the Lord, didn't Mary and Joseph know this? Yes, they did. And here, Simeon says these wonderful things about Jesus, and it says that they marveled. Didn't they know? Of course they knew. But here's the thing about the gospel, all right? Here's the thing about the gospel. To a believer, the gospel is never an old message. It is always a delight to hear it again. Why? Because it quickens the heart and the mind. Because when we are ever assured of the grace and salvation of God, it causes our hearts to be delighted in God. And so every time we hear it, even though we've heard it all before, every time we hear it, we are delighted to hear it, because the Holy Ghost is thus building up and strengthening us in this faith and increasing our hope in the glory of God. And it is a message that for the believer is ever new. If you're bored with the Word of God, if you're bored with the gospel in particular, oh, why we always have to hear that gospel, gospel, gospel. You need to examine your heart. Something's wrong with you. All right? If you're bored with the gospel of God, something's wrong with you. All right? You need to repent. You need to examine yourself. You need to return to the Lord. You have allowed something to get in the way of the flourishing of your soul in the grace of God. So it says that Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. That is, they were once again delighted to hear who their son was and what he had come to do. All right. Then, after this time of delight, Simeon says to Mary, he says, "Behold, this child is set, that is, he is destined for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." All right, what's going on here? First thing he says that Jesus is going to be reacted to in two different ways. Some people will fall away. They will be offended and they will fall away and they will harden their hearts and they will damn themselves because they will not receive Jesus, the gospel, and the word of God. And so, Jesus is set for the fall of many. But Jesus is also set for the rising again of many. And what that means is that many people will hear the gospel. They will hear Jesus. And by the grace of God, they will come to saving faith and they will experience a spiritual resurrection from the dead. That is, they will go from being unbelievers to believers by the Holy Ghost like that. All right? Being born again, being converted, being regenerated is not a work that we do for ourselves over a period of time. It is something that the Holy Ghost does to us by means of the Word and sacraments, and He does it, boom, like that. 1 minute you're an unbeliever, the next minute something has changed and you are now a believer in Jesus Christ. So, God's Son comes into the world and will be reacted to in two different ways. Some will take offense and fall. Others will take delight in Him and be saved. Right? The second thing that this says is that Jesus is a sign that shall be spoken against. The Lord Jesus will be rejected by His own people. In the first chapter of the Gospel of John, it says, He came to His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on His name. So He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. He was despised and rejected. All throughout the Lord's earthly ministry, He had the scribes and the Pharisees and the lawyers and the Sadducees, all the religious community, snapping at his heels, criticizing everything he said, everything he did. Though they saw miracle upon miracle upon miracle, and though they could find no fault with any of his teaching, yet they remained in impenitence and they opposed him in every way possible. So, Jesus, number one, will be reacted to in two different ways. Number two, He will be spoken against. Number three, Mary will experience a deep, painful sorrow concerning her son because she will observe him being beaten and rejected and crucified, and she will suffer as she sees her son undergoing all these things. And so this is a prophecy spoken to Mary about the cross that she will bear, just as we bear crosses as we follow Jesus as well. And then finally, it says that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. In other words, Jesus creates a reaction. And how you react to the Word of God and to the Lord Jesus Christ, how you react shows what your heart is really like. Are you a believer born again by the grace of God? Or are you an unbeliever living in impenitence and continuing in sin? The thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. You know, you cannot hear about Jesus and not have an impression made. God grant that the impression made in us will be one of thankful faith in the Lord. So, what we see here, and then I won't go into it today, but there's the story of Anna who also comes in. She gives thanks. She tells everybody about Jesus. All of this shows that in the midst of a world filled with people who couldn't care less, God has His faithful little flock scattered abroad. And as Jesus comes into the world, we see this little flock being gathered together and enjoying fellowship with one another around Jesus Christ. So it is today. You and I, we live different walks of life. We go forth from this building out into the world and we live very different lives and we bump into all kinds of different people. But the thing that gathers us together, the thing that creates our fellowship, the thing that sustains our worship is Jesus. It is Jesus who has come to be our Savior, and He is the glue that binds us together. And we come together to hear the message of Jesus and to receive the body and blood of Jesus. We come together to be the little flock of God, strengthened and encouraged by the presence of God among us, and that is Jesus Christ, who is truly present in the Word and sacraments in our midst, and who blesses us with His forgiveness, His mercy, and salvation. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.